Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
So let's turn to the book of Galatians chapter 2 verse 9 to 10. We want to continue speaking on the subject of the economy of the kingdom of God. The economy of the kingdom of God. It's one of the 26 components of God's kingdom. Every kingdom has got an economy. Every nation has got an economy. Economy is just talking about financial matters. There is no nation in this world which does not have financial matters. So we want to look at the financial matters or things pertaining to finances in the kingdom of God or in the nation of God. We have been doing some subjects on kingdom preparations. We have looked at waiting on God, the need for us to wait on God, for God to impart our lives. Even as we get intimate with God, we get deep with God. We have also looked at the subject of follow his star. We did it in two parts, one and two, follow his star, where we spoke about guidance, the need to be guided by God, the need to follow the leadership of God so that we can realize his kingdom in our lives, the need for us to obey the Lord. There is no way we can have the fullness of God's kingdom manifest in our lives if we do not wait upon the Lord and we do not obey the Lord. We need to be guided by the Lord. Now, the fourth thing we spoke about was on the subject of Jacob and Esau, still under kingdom preparations. We said that we need to also renew our lifestyle or change our lifestyle. So it's not just waiting upon God. It is not just obeying the Lord, but we must also have a change of lifestyle. We must change from being Esau bias or living like Esau lived to living like Jacob lived. And you need to look at that subject so that you can know the things you have to amend in your lives for you to realize God's kingdom in full manifestation in your life. Today, we want to continue looking at the new subject of the economy of the kingdom of God. The economy of the kingdom of God. I've gone through outlining some of the things we've done in the past so that you get to understand that we are not just always talking about economy or financial matters or money matters, but there are other things that we speak about. We want to take our text today from Galatians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. It says, "And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, or seemed to be the leaders of the church, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen or unto the Gentiles, unbelievers, and they unto the circumcision or the Jews. Only they would that we should remember the poor." And I want you to note that one, verse 10. "Only they," that is the leaders of the church, Peter, James, and John, those who walked close with Jesus, those who saw Jesus's lifestyle and attitude towards financial things, they are now speaking to the apostle Paul. Paul and Barnabas had the grace to minister to non-Jews. Peter, James, and John had the grace to minister to Jews. Okay. Now, this is what the leaders of the church are speaking to Paul. Now, verse 10. "Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also," Paul is talking now, "the same thing I also was forward to do." Now, I want us to pause and think about this thing a little bit. Because last week we looked at the subject of the law of emphasis, where we said that about 3/4 of what Jesus Christ spoke was literally speaking on financial matters. And then we also looked at the law of first mention or first occurrence, where we get a first impression And we got to understand about five main points that the first thing Jesus was supernaturally anointed to attract was gold from the wise men. And the first anointing Jesus declared was on him was to break the back of poverty by preaching to the poor. Luke 4:18. And we also said that the first miracle Jesus performed was to supply a physical need at a wedding. Obviously, the couple were broke. And so Jesus Christ had to intervene and get them more wine. We also said that the first introduction Jesus gave to his three apostles, Peter, James, and John, if you read the book of Luke chapter 5 verse 9, was to supply their need for fish abundantly. And fifthly, we said that Jesus' first three recorded temptations involved being tempted with the kingdoms of this world and the glory of them. Matthew 4 verse 8. Now, all these first occurrences in the Bible we learned last week shows that Jesus Christ wants us to be opened to his mind about finances. Because that is the first thing that happens in his life. And that is the first impression people get about the Lord Jesus, that he is interested in my financial matters. How do you think that the apostles felt when they needed fish badly, but Jesus Christ came upon the scene and supplied their fish? They felt that, no, this man is interested in my business. This man is interested in me doing well. That was his first introduction to them. It was out of it that they bowed to Jesus and said that we are sinners. Depart from us. They were convicted of sin. What do you think the impression of the couple who could not procure more wine, but the people were flocking into his wedding ceremony? How do you think he felt about the Lord Jesus when they told him that this man met that need of yours? What do you think your first impression of Jesus Christ will be? It will be that this man is very much interested in taking me away from social embarrassment and supplying my physical need. Among other things, you cannot take that impression that they will have of Jesus Christ away from them. What do you think that the parents of Jesus Christ felt when the wise men opened their treasures and then they took out gold unto Jesus? It wasn't a gold neck lace or earring. It was gold from their treasures. They will have a certain impression of Jesus, that Jesus is interested in meeting our financial needs. So the apostles, who were the first leaders, first Gentile leaders, being Paul and Barnabas, let's put it that way. And then the Jewish leaders, Peter, James, and John, all of them are saying one thing, that in taking the gospel to people, we should remember the poor. And Paul says that, I had made up my mind I was going to do the same thing. How does a preacher remember the poor? When the preacher does not say anything to help the poor, help their psyche, help them to come out of that mentality of poverty or the condition of poverty. That is why it is important for us to look at the economy of the kingdom of God. Now, this is how we ended last week. We said that God did not create anybody or any group of people to live in perpetual poverty. I am very convinced about this, that nobody, no group of people should live in perpetual poverty. Because, you know, we were created by God, and God is rich, rich in all things. And if he created us after his kind, there is no way a rich person will create people who are potentially poor and cannot do anything about it. It doesn't even make sense. So, what did we say? We said that there is nobody on the face of this earth who is poor. All of us are potentially rich people. Potentially rich people. God created Adam and Eve and put them not in lack. He put them in abundance. But the question we have to ask ourselves is that if we are all created rich, how is it that there is poverty in the world? Because poverty is widespread. Current statistics say that more than half of the world's population live on less than $2 a day. They live in the poverty bracket by World Bank standards. We also said that 5% of the population of the world own 95% of the world's riches. And 95% of the world's population, close to about 6 billion and more, live on only 5% of the world's riches. They struggle for it. Why is it so? Today, you have to get 5 points at the end of this session. And we want to answer the question, why is it so? Because if you are able to answer that question, you will be getting prepared to move out of the poverty bracket. Why is it so that although Africa is the richest continent, so to speak, generally, its people constitute the bulk of the poor people of the world. Of course, together with some Asian countries. Why is it so? I'll begin it this way. Number one, it's because of erroneous beliefs. Because of wrong beliefs. Wrong belief system. If you observe poor people, and let's get a little practical, let's look at our own continent so that we can be a little relevant and specific. Now, if you look at the continent of Africa, you observe it, you will by all means have questions. Because you will wonder, why is it that we have the conditions that we have, the bulk of our people? Why is it so? Many people have tried to answer this question. It is a question that has agitated the minds of many. I asked myself this question way back years ago when I was around 12. That why are we the way that we are? Now through the years, God has shown me some few things. And you see, some people say that we are the way we are because of our location, because of where we are. Our geographical location, that around this place, the weather is not good. The sun kind of torments us so that we are not able to maybe think the way we must think and push the way we must push. Our location has made us, this is not me, this is some people speaking, has made us lazy. We don't feel like pushing because all the conditions are, they look so right for us. So we don't really put in effort. Now that is what some people think. That where we are accounts for our condition. Some other people also say that we are the way we are because of what we are. What we are. In other words, there is something, they say there is something genetically wrong with the African mind. There is something wrong with being black. These are the people who say that we are subhuman, so to speak. Not me speaking. Now, the third thing that people say is that we are the way we are because of how we have been treated. How we have been treated by the white man. Colonialism. By that they refer to colonialism. They refer to imperialism. They refer to apartheid. They refer to slavery. That is why we are the way we are. Because of how we have historically been treated. Some other people, number four, says that we are the way we are because we are cursed. We are cursed. So we are doomed to be poor because of the curse. I will say that we are the way we are because of what we believe and do. We are the way we are because of what we believe and do. Belief is very fundamental to human life. Belief is so fundamental that is the first demand of the gospel. Because belief determines our action. Belief determines our expectation. There is no way you can expect beyond what you believe. There is no way you can behave above or beyond what you believe. So, it is our belief system that we must work on. And I want us to note some few things about our belief system.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
The first thing I want us to note is that poor people are so because of what they believe, and you cannot act beyond what you believe. Romans chapter 10 and then verse 4. You cannot act beyond what you believe. Romans tells us that how can they call on Him? That is an action. How can they call on Him in whom they have not believed? In other words, he's saying that before you can act, then your belief system must be there. And you act out of what you believe. Number two, you cannot believe beyond what you know. You cannot believe beyond what you know. The same Romans 10 verse 4, it says that how can they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? In other words, if you have not known somebody, heard about somebody, how can you believe on the person? So the Bible is telling us that you cannot believe beyond what you know. You see, that is why we have to work on our belief system. You cannot believe beyond what you know. Number three, you cannot know without somebody telling you. You cannot know without somebody telling you. So if you wrote those three statements down, you have three words. The first one is act, or behave, or do. The second one is believe. And then the third one is know. Act, believe, know. That is the way the sequence is. You cannot act without believing. You cannot believe without knowing. That is why the Bible tells us in the same Romans 10, 14, that how can they know without a preacher? Because a preacher, somebody who knows something, must tell the poor something. So that they will also get to know something, and that it will affect the way they believe. What they believe about their condition, about themselves, and it will affect their behavior and then their expectation. You know, that is why the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. Because it is when the poor hear something from a preacher that they can know. And then when they know, they can believe God's word. And when they believe God's word, they can act upon the word, and it will influence their behavior and influence what they expect. So we need to work upon our belief system. Belief. If your believing is wrong, your behavior will be wrong, and your expectation too will be wrong. I want us to look at the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and then verse 17. I want to diffuse some wrong belief system We use just two verses and then we'll move on. This one was spoken by the head of the church, Peter, the head of the first church. 1 Peter 1 and then 17 to 19. Let's take it from 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed, please underline no. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, and please underline vain conversation, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hallelujah. Peter says that we must have a fundamental knowing. What is that knowing? That we have been redeemed. The word redeemed means that we have been bought back. We have been re-owned. Owned is O-W-N-E-D. We have been redeemed from what? Look into your Bibles. What have we been redeemed from? From vain conversation or vain behavior, vain manner of life. Where did we get the vain behavior? Says that received by tradition from your fathers. It came from the ancestry. Says that we have been bought back. We have been re-owned. We have been freed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. In other words, what the Bible is saying is that you, let's grant that you received some bad behavior from your ancestry, or you received a curse from your ancestry. It is not really a curse, but let's grant that it is true. The Bible tells us that we must know something, that when Jesus Christ came, he redeemed us, he saved us from a certain behavior that we inherited by the blood. Hallelujah. So, by the coming of the Lord Jesus, there is a level playing field for all men. All men can believe God for the best of things in this world. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and then verse 9 to 10. Says that who has saved us is the same redeeming. Who has saved us? You know, if you understand the concept of redeeming, you'll get to know that fundamentally, Jesus Christ did not just redeem Christians. He redeemed the whole world. Unbelievers included, they were bought back. Hallelujah. Now, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. And please underline purpose and grace. He saved us according to a certain purpose he has in mind. He redeemed us by the blood according to a certain purpose he has in mind. And then according to a certain grace he has in mind. Grace is talking about enabling power, an ability of God, which was given us in Christ Jesus. In other words, the purpose and the grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now let's look at verse 10. But it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, God had a purpose and a grace for all men. And based upon that purpose and grace, he saved us. But the purpose and the grace were not manifest until Jesus Christ came. In other words, before he came, from Adam's fall, all throughout the Old Testament, until the time Jesus came, the real purpose of God for humanity, or in our context as we are speaking, for poor people, it was not manifest. So they were continuing in their poverty. Although that was not God's grace. Although there was a grace, they were not practically realizing the grace or the purpose. Until verse 10a, it is now, the purpose and the grace is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And Paul says that that is why I am appointed a teacher of the Gentiles, or an apostle to the Gentiles. The reason why I'm a preacher and my calling, Galatians 2, 9 and 10, is to minister to the Gentiles, and then I should not forget the poor, is because Jesus has got a purpose and a grace for poor people which is not yet manifest, which the preachers have been ordained to make them know what is God's purpose for me from the foundation of the world, which has not been realized until Jesus came, and for which preachers, like what you are hearing me teach you right now, must teach the people the purpose and the grace, so that those purposes and the grace of God for poor people of whatever aspect of their lives will be made manifest now in their practical life. I've said all this to make us to know that the most important thing is what you believe. That is why I believe that poor people are the way they are, not because of any curse, because of what they believe. Because in Christ Jesus, all of the curse of the fall, all of the curse of the law, rather, is taken away in Christ Jesus. If I tell you the curse of the fall, you will not be able to believe it now. Okay? You cannot believe it now. So Jesus' calling, really, ladies and gentlemen, let's understand Jesus from the original people. Jesus' calling, really, was to take us to the beginning and make us realize before the fall of mankind his purpose for us, his real purpose for us, his real grace that must be upon us. That is why you must yearn and pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be upon your life, that will take you from poverty. So let's work on our belief system, because the way you behave is going to be determined by what you believe. What you speak is going to be determined by what you believe. Hallelujah. That is why the gospel, first of all, demands repent and believe the gospel. Repent just means change your mind. It's a mental thing that affects a behavior of a person. So Jesus and John the Baptist said that, look, the kingdom of God is with you. So change your mind and believe differently from the belief system that you see all throughout the fallen period of humanity up to Christ. Hallelujah. We have got work to do, preachers. We have got a lot of work to do, because there is too much wrong believing around. All right. So that is the first reason why poverty is widespread, because some people are believing wrongly. Some other people may not know the Bible the way you know the Bible. But believe me, if you talk to them the way they believe, you realize that it aligns with the Bible, although they don't know the Bible. It affects the way they behave. It even affects the way they think. It affects what they try. And it blesses them. Wrong belief. Number two, very closely associated with that, ignorance. There is poverty in the world because of ignorance. There is ignorance in the world. Darkness. Mental darkness. You can be so rich, as we have said, that all men are created potentially rich. But if you are ignorant about what you have, Satan will take what is yours and he will impose and baptize you in poverty. Just because you don't know what you have. I cannot strike this point so far, but Proverbs 24 verse 4 tells us that knowledge restores riches. Says that wisdom builds the house And you need wisdom. Because if you are ignorant, it involves wisdom and knowledge and understanding. But wisdom builds a house. And then he says that by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with precious and pleasant riches. A chamber is talking about a space, open space, or a room. How can the room be filled with precious and pleasant riches instead of being filled with raw materials? Because you can have a room that is filled with not pleasant riches. You know, raw material is not a pleasant riches. It's not pleasant. You wouldn't want to even see it. When they give you the earth that they say gold is inside. Because gold is not like cassava that you dig and you see, now this is cassava. You just take the earth and then you process it. So when you have that dirt in your room, it's not a pleasant thing. It's not even precious, so to speak. It's a dirty thing. But how can we fill our chambers? How can we fill our lives? How can we fill our continent with not raw materials, but with precious and pleasant riches? It is by knowledge, the Bible says. We must have the know-how. Our main problem, the main problem of poor people is because of know-how. They don't know how to fill their chambers with precious and pleasant riches. They may know how to fill it with raw materials. They may sit on raw materials. But they don't know how to convert it into a pleasant, something good that you look at and you see that I'm not seeing death. I'm seeing something pleasant for the eyes, admirable, is the know-how. Ignorance. That is why Jesus Christ came preaching the gospel to the poor, so that the poor people will know something. Ignorance has been the bane of poor people. And there are some people who glory in ignorance. There's all glory in it that they do not want to do anything about it. They like to say, well, I don't know. As far as we don't know how to do it, well, find out how to do it. Get the knowledge. Find out how to turn that thing from a raw state into a finished state. Because potentially you have the riches in your chamber, but you must have knowledge. So let us work on our ignorance. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.